Happy like a wrecking ball.
Happy July, everyone. Welcome to This Week in Mormons. Glad you're
Jeff,
here.
Don't let me phase you. I was supporting you. I'm the descant. What do I always say? I'm the descant.
You are the descant. For our wonderful listeners in the United States, as you approach this 4th of July weekend, we hope it is wonderful to you and that you can remember that your country is the best. I know we have many other, Anglophone
listeners. It
really is
a great country, huh? It's a really good one.
But let's be honest here. Canada, they didn't fight a war for independence. Australia,
no, they didn't.
Is just a bunch of convicts.
Independence was given to them on a silver platter.
And New Zealand, I don't even know what happened in New Zealand. There's hobbits there.
Well, there's also the Maoris that are sort of the...
The natives?
They were attacked and taken over, they don't have their independence.
Well, the point is America's never done any of those terrible things to other people or native populations, okay? So that's
we're looking at you, Kuwait.
Yeah, so Kuwait, of all the countries. Kuwait, notorious for going after the native people of the land.
And I'm saying we've never done anything wrong. Looking at you, Kuwait.
I was thinking more of like the American Indians. That was being farcical.
American Samoa.
You know.
American Samoa, looking at you, buddy.
What I think we need to do is think about our territories and Commonwealth realms in the U.S. And because as far as I know, you know, Puerto Ricans can't vote for president. And so I'm assuming a Puerto Rican also cannot run for president.
That's absurd.
Even though he or she is a U.S. citizen. So I think we should push to have that change, just to have some Puerto Rican running for president to shake things up, because there aren't
enough
Republicans.
The idea that even Jeff, if you had a stable faculty, could run for president, why then not someone from Guam, where they live, or Singapore, where they live
tax-free? You want someone from Singapore to run for president.
Or not Singapore. Saipan is what I was thinking. Saipan.
There
the
are different
tax
levels.
Shelter of corporate America.
I thought that was the Caymans. But
there's no corporate tax, but it's still an American territory.
This is the dream. This is the dream. Sometimes if I have to give away a phone number for registration for something, and I know they're going to call me, I give them a Guam phone number. Because Guam is still plus one, but then there's a Guam area code. And you can't
actually
call
it. You just make
it
up?
You can't.
There's some poor man in Guam. I feel like this is an episode of Seinfeld I've seen.
It's because it's what's going to happen. But the thing is, unlike other places, you can't just call Guam willy-nilly, all right? It's not included in your calling plan, folks. Don't just call the Guam area code and think it's going to work out okay. You're going to get hit for that. Okay.
They will find you, and they will.
This is very important stuff that we're talking about on our Mormon-themed podcast.
No, it's
the way
it's
America relates
important.
To its overseas territories. Big issue. And John Oliver did a good segment on it, actually, about a month ago.
Yeah.
Check it out.
On how big a chef they got. Oliver, man, that guy did not see that coming. I never really appreciated him when we had him.
I still, season two has been fine, but I still haven't seen many segments that have kind of really just been massive home runs like he had.
I still haven't seen an actual episode of his show. I just watch it on YouTube.
That's all you need to do, though. There's nothing else to watch. It's a half-hour show, and then he devotes 18 minutes to his major segment. So that's all you need.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Watch his takedown of the Miss America system, or FIFA.
That was great.
Or gun rights, or something. Or
all lovely.
And he's not...
Anyway, Jeff, how are you? How is your life?
My life is fantastical.
Are you a father yet?
I am
still
not
no.
a father yet. We are on the approach.
Do you feel like every morning you wake up and you don't have a new baby, that you've somehow failed?
No, because we haven't hit the due date yet. But now I am at the point where I wonder, like, one of these days it's just going to happen, you know?
When you're saying, what did I do wrong? This is on me.
Yeah, I'm being punished.
Surely the children are being punished for my sins.
I'm being punished. Heavenly Father is keeping the child inside my wife,
right,
to punish
right.
us.
Well, this is a classic Jonah and the whale scenario. We've seen this 1,000 times.
Yes, I don't know, man.
Not to call your wife a whale. As I said that, I realized that maybe the parallels there, not appropriate. But baby inside the jaw. Okay, no.
My wife, she looks very, very good. So.
She's keeping it tight.
She's done well with pregnancy.
I'll give it to her. She keeps it tight.
She's done well with pregnancy. That doesn't diminish what happens to many women. All right, I want to be very. This is a very dangerous slope to be on. Okay, this is like being.
We should not be talking about this.
This is
at
like
all.
Hiking a stratovolcano when it starts trembling. All right, you've got avalanches, mudslides, whatever. Well, you got to be very careful.
But there are some women that suffer from more swelling in the facial regions, and other ones that seem that all they have is a belly, and they're just like, oh, I just have a baby in here. I don't know.
I'll tell you, man, it gives you a lot of perspective and appreciation. Women go through. They go through a lot. It's like they
have a baby inside them and they got their wisdom teeth pulled and you're like, whoa, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
But my hat goes off to them. I have come to appreciate the sacrifices the ladies make.
Well, I bet you have.
Now,
whether you wanted to or
gym.
Not, you are going to appreciate those sacrifices.
Of course. I know. It's going to happen any day, man.
How has the poor baby or the poor chick flick with babies... endeavor.
The Quest?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Had we watched any... I don't remember.
You watched Father of the Bride 2. I saw.
Had we watched Three Men and a Baby? Yeah, we had. That was... So we didn't get another one.
That was last week.
For a week. So we watched Father of the Bride 2, which was fine. It wasn't really very funny. I mean, it was just kind of... It was fine.
It was just something.
It wasn't anything amazing. I mean, it's amazing because they both get pregnant. The best scene by far is when Martin Short is doing exercises with them, because that's out of nowhere, and it's very amusing. But beyond that, it was okay. I don't know what else we have.
Did Martin Short come back into it?
That's what I just said, Martin Short.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Steve Martin. Jeff, I'm sorry.
Steve Martin,
I didn't see
Martin
it.
Short, Dick Sargent, Sergeant York, Garth.
Whatever. It's a haiku. Whatever, Jeff. Well, that's great.
Yeah,
so
that's fun, and... Other more important news, though, than that, my wife, as it turns out, has not watched Star Wars movies. And so I have felt it my husband's duty to indoctrinate her in the ways of the Force. Because, I mean, Come on. Who hasn't seen Star Wars? It's okay if you don't even like Star Wars, but to not have seen it, unacceptable in Western civilization, is how I feel.
And did she watch it?
We have watched the first Star Wars, and then we watched The Empire Strikes Back, which is an amazing film, I might add. One of the best films, perhaps ever, I would say. And that was good. And speaking of best films ever, Al, my last of Jeff's movie updates. You see what pregnancy does to people. You watch a lot of movies.
What are you tapping? I can't see what's going on.
I saw Inside Out over the weekend, Pixar film.
What is that? Oh, the Pixar movie.
Inside Out is one of the best films I have seen in years.
How do you go and see an animated movie without a child?
See,
to
so think
you?
Of okay. You remember last week when we talked about how Jurassic Park was entertaining, but really in the end not really that great of a movie. You kind of led that discussion.
No, I do not concede that point.
You were talking a lot about how you thought it was kind
Chris
of
Chris Pratt was
film.
Phenomenal in that movie. Oscar.
It sounds movie. To me like you're changing your opinion because I remember last week. I believe I have recordings of it. You were talking about how disappointed you were with the characterization and how so much of the plot didn't make any sense.
No, what are you talking about? That was you, and I vehemently disagree.
That doesn't sound like me. That sounds more like you. So what happened. So then I saw Inside Out, which is just a delightful film. And why did I see it without a child? Because I have a soul and a heart.
Yeah, you're not allowed to see children's movies without children.
That's the thing. It's not a children's movie, Al.
It's a Pixar
layers,
film. It's a children's
layers.
Movie.
Like a pomegranate. All right,
please.
All sorts of little things.
Please go see SpongeBob SquarePants alone. Why don't
that
you?
Is a different film. I have
creepy
no desire to
old
see
man.
That. I have no desire to see that. But Pixar movies are different because they make the movies that somehow work for both adults and youths.
It's not true.
No, it is true. What was the last Pixar movie you saw?
I never see them. I don't have children, Jeff. I'm not allowed.
This is why you're sad all the time, Al.
That's probably true.
I challenge you to hang around and watch.
So Inside Out, the premise is that it's a movie about feelings, yes?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
So.
I got all kinds of feels
from
it. Well,
that's nice. Pixar's good at movies about feelings. Cars have feelings. Fish have feelings.
You saw that thing
on
the.
Toys have feelings.
Did you see that meme going around? Is that where
I did.
From? Yeah. Which I thought was reasonably clever. So if you haven't seen Inside Out, people.
So now we've got a movie about feelings. Why did you appreciate
the
this
feelings
show?
Have feelings. It was beautifully
the
done.
The best movie you've seen in years.
It was beautifully done. It was thought-provoking. It was interesting.
This goes back through the Dark Knight era. This is better than the Dark Knight series.
I find those two very difficult to compare.
I feel like this pushes back into, I mean, maybe up into that thing you do. Would you say it's better than that thing you
also
do?
Also, that thing you do is basically a bubblegum film. Inside Out had some meat, some soul, some things to think about.
I'm sorry, did you say that thing you do was a bubblegum film?
Yeah, it's a great movie. Don't get me wrong. I'm always very touched when I watch it. But it's a happy little pop film.
I wasted 1,000 kisses on you. That's a happy pop film?
That's a great line. I tell you what. And then later on, when Guy and Faye get together, and she kisses him and says, that should have happened a long time ago. That's the kind of moment you long for as a man.
It's like in Jurassic Park when she says, what do we do now? And he says, we better stick together.
Even though we have survival. No characterization that suggests we should. Whatever. But yes.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad that you saw it. I'm glad that you went to a kid's movie.
I'm done
movie
with me. How
with
is,
a beard.
How is the Ozarks other than the typical problem?
I am at the Lake of the Ozarks. I am here on a family vacation.
Are you going to go to Branson?
No. I did go to Springfield, though, where there is a place called Hertz Donuts. And they offer what is called a donut shake.
Uh-huh. I'm listening. Very interesting.
So let's say you order the Nutella donut. Sure. Right? They have a cinnamon sugar donut pumped full of Nutella. They make a shake using those same ingredients, Nutella, cinnamon sugar, etc., and ice cream. So you get a full shake, and then they stick a donut on top. There you go. They've made a donut shake. And you drink it like a glutton. Drink it down. Eat the donut. And then you try and die for the next 30 minutes until your body gives up. It's quite the event. Springfield is an interesting town. Quite a history there. Quite a history.
What's the other history there? Why is it interesting?
Well, in the town square, they note that was the last place in America where a lynching occurred, which is very bizarre to sort of advertise on your town square. I was quite surprised. and I'm just like... Okay. Like, I didn't know what to do with it. And
good job,
and
Southern Missouri.
Subsequently, there's a mass exodus. It's got, like, one of the lowest per capita blends of races in any town in America, I believe.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That sounds so
way to go, Springfield.
Sounds so healthy.
Knocking it out of the park. But here in the Ozarks, quite nice and very leafy and wooded.
Now, what do you do there? Do you just jump in the lake? Do you go on a boat?
Yeah, that's really all it is.
Do you boat?
We have a dock, or we rented a house with a dock and a pool, and the kids swim in the pool all day. We play basketball in
the
pool, and then
do you have a pool if you're on a lake?
Safety reasons, Jeff.
What's the safety reason? The monster in the lake? I mean, what?
Yeah, sometimes little kids are, well, because there's fish in the lake, and they'll come and nibble on you sometimes, or just say hi. Some people are scared of lake swimming. Not me, obviously.
But you're telling me you have weaker humans in your brood who...
Yeah, they're 2 to 4 normally is where
this,
they're at their
this
weakest.
Just sounds like excuses. When I was 4 years old, I had a job in a mine. I don't know
That's
what
fair.
Their problem is.
It's fair.
Famed mind of California.
But all in all, a good time. I'm excited to be...
Now, are you staying there through the 4th? Is this a whole...
No. I couldn't. I could never. Thankfully, there's internet, so I'm making it the full 5 days. But I'll be headed home here probably Thursday.
So
stay tomorrow, leave Thursday.
What the heck are you going to do up the... What are you doing for the 4th, though? Just watching some patriotic parade in town?
Jeff, I don't know. I'm sure I'll go and get some fireworks from my uncle's firework tent and try and blow up some trees on somebody's property somewhere.
I like it.
That's tradition in Missouri.
I like that.
What will you do for
you could
go
get
to the Capitol, sit on the lawn and listen to the band play?
Yeah. Okay. I'm down. If you want to come out here, I mean, D.C.'s great in the 4th, and it'll be very entertaining.
I'm already booking a trip together, Jeff. Putting it together.
You are?
I am.
This is joyous news.
You'll see me probably either some week in July or the end of August.
Oh, okay. That's good. Well, you know, try to run it by my secretary first to make sure I'm in town.
Whatever, Jeff.
And, you know, I can only let so many people in the delivery room, so I can't guarantee anything. but I will have a backstage.
I'm gonna be like family and come out 10 days early.
There you go.
I'll be out there now and just wait.
Just hanging
I'm not
out,
going anywhere.
Just waiting for the magic to happen.
I'm just gonna stare you in the eye every night at dinner until you have your wife has that baby, and you're going to know I think you're a failure until she does.
Man, I tell you what, though. The prospect of fatherhood is exciting, but it is very scary. I mean, it really is. And there's an interesting just amalgam of emotions.
Well, yeah, I mean, you wear tight jeans and have a tossed hair look. I mean, this, you are not by any means prepared for fatherhood.
Okay. I was actually going to have a sincere conversation about this. It's clear to me that you're not ready for that.
No, Jeff, come on. I was just,
you know what? I'll take my love elsewhere.
Jeff, I was being funny. What? So talk to me about the
nothing. It's
fatherhood.
Just, we have plenty of listeners who have gone through this and some who will soon or are hoping to experience it, whatever. So for me, it's been very interesting. And it really hit me the other night, though, that my wife and I were talking. We're kind of like, this is like some of the last time we're going to spend together, just being able to just be us. And that's okay. It's bittersweet in that sense. Of course, we're very excited for the future, and we are. I definitely am. But of course, it's difficult not to look back on the number of years of marriage and such when you're just a couple, just doing your thing. And that's never going to happen again. You know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, you really turn a page and do so permanently, or at least until I'm old and kids are out of the house.
Check it out for 20 years, man. 20 years.
I'm sorry?
20 years, you're gone.
I was what?
You're checking out for 20 years.
Oh, yes. Okay, good.
I'm sorry. Did you suspect I said something?
I said something far less appropriate. I was a little confused for a second. It's like, what? I'm sorry? I'm like, we've talked about the things you say on the show. We've tried to work on this. This has been a week. You've been doing very well.
No.
You've been doing very well. So anyway, it's going to be good. One of these weeks, who knows, folks? I don't know what will happen if we'll skip a show or if the scheduling works like
no,
that.
No, I will. The show must go on, Jeff.
It must. If I have to hook up a microphone in the delivery room because it's, you know, a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
You'll hear the baby screaming in the background and then
the whole show will be
happen.
A live play-by-play of what happens.
Like some of the worst 30 Rock episodes you've ever seen. Those live ones were terrible.
Yeah, so
anyway, Jeff, we've got big news this week.
Feel like anything of import happened over the last week or anything. What are you talking about?
No, I mean we got some major things that went down. Not the least of which is the North Dakota mission moved to Bismarck.
Very good.
That's
Where was it before?
Well, as we all know, Jeff and I.
We've been following the North Dakota mission for years.
And this one was in Rapid City, but the growth in Bismarck was exploding. So what did they do? Moved the mission to Bismarck.
Now, I have not been to Bismarck, but I have been to Rapid City with you.
Have you?
Yeah, remember we had dinner in Rapid City. We ate there once.
Oh, my gosh, we did.
We went to some lame place after so many other better places might have been, but we were burned out on heavy food, so we were trying to find something better.
When we were desperate, to
remember that was the same night we saw Mount Rushmore and then slept in a field.
That was a great story, actually. Yeah, like we were too cheap to pay the $6 camping fee, and so we went in super late, laid down on some RV park just out on the lawn, and then at 5 a.m. woke up, hopped in the car, and ran.
And there we were, just a balmy summer evening in South Dakota under the stars. I often leave out the RV park part of the story and give off the impression that we were literally just sleeping in an open field.
No, we drove around until we found some freshly mowed grass and laid on that.
Well, because we tried getting into hotels and nobody would accept our excessively low.
Apparently, Mount Rushmore in the summer is busy.
And apparently people want money to stay in a place and are insulted when you say, how about $40 for the room?
I think back to it now, though. He was like, I'll give you a room for $70 for the three of you. And we're like, nah.
It was pretty funny how much we balked at stuff like that. We're just like, no
way. Nah, give me 40.
Anyway, so good on North Dakota. The work, they've realigned some stuff, so I guess that's why they chose to.
Yeah, so just to put your minds at ease. That's what we had going
on. In some other quick news, Al, are you familiar with the show Granite Flats?
We've talked about it a number of times. I've never watched it.
Nor have I, and now you never will. It's on Netflix, so in that sense, you can watch it. And if you might remember a few months ago, it was probably actually only, in May, I think, they announced that Granite Flats was going to be on Netflix and be streaming and stuff, and they'd even streamed the third season before broadcasting it on BYU TV. And so everyone said this is delightful, wonderful to have it on streaming, And now they've just up and announced, hey, so it's done. I've never seen it. I don't believe there was a finale of sorts or anything along those lines. And the showrunners were very vague in their reasons. They just kind of said, it's been awesome. We love everyone for supporting us in our hit show. And it's done. We're gonna
Are the actors sad? Weren't there?
That's the thing. Like, I have nothing that gives me more detail. And we've got a piece on our site about this very thing. What does it all mean? Are the actors tired of it? Is the producer just tired of it? Ran out of ideas and said, this was fun. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they just have limited funds and they might have new ideas for shows and they just can't have both. So they said, well, Granite Flats was fun. Let's pursue a new project.
Just bizarre.
Because BYU TV has a different model. I don't even know where all of their funding comes from. I mean, they don't follow the typical TV model as far as revenue and things like that.
Just bizarre.
Very bizarre. So sorry, folks. If you like Granite Flats, well, that's it. You're not going to get more of it. It's done.
All right. So actually, let's talk about the big one that's been filling everybody's Facebook newsfeed this week.
The women's soccer.
The women's soccer. No, the Supreme Court ruled this week on gay marriage and said, you know what? Marriage is one of those things that everybody has a right to.
A right to, yeah.
It's all theirs. Jeff, thoughts? What was your reaction to this? The opinions coming out from all over the place were, I mean, they flew the entire spectrum. We had people on both sides, staunch supporters. I mean, in my newsfeed, I'm sure everybody's was very similar to this. But on the one hand, it was cool to see so much sort of excitement over a group getting recognition and some sort of rights awarded to them. And then, on the other hand, like there's people that are sort of picking this as the line in the sand.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Big time.
I don't know. I mean, what were some of your thoughts?
Well, I mean, my initial thought was, well, yeah, I mean, this was expected. I think we've talked for years at this point on the show about how we knew this was going to happen. So that happened. Whoop-de-doo. I thought the ruling was very interesting because Justice Kennedy's writing on it was very nice. But what was very interesting is the four judges, the dissenters, all wrote their own opinion pieces on it. Usually only one writes the dissent, but all four of them wrote their own, which ran the gamut, especially with Scalia just kind of mouthing off like an upset teenager about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he was not pleased.
But anyway... I think that the main thing here is, like, I'm with you, Al. I think from a, and remember this, from a purely civil standpoint, okay? Not necessarily letting my own religious views on things inform what I think about it. But it's like, okay, so a population now can have that title or the legal status, which is probably even more important, of being married. Anyone can do it. Okay. Great for you. We knew this was going to happen, and that's going on. And I don't know where we run up on this, though, as Latter-day Saints now. I mean, we've exhausted so much energy over the past many, many, many years fighting very, very hard to keep gay marriage from becoming the law of the land. I think we saw a kind of a sea change at one point when it seemed clear the church was no longer rallying to keep it illegal as much as sort of just trying to lay the groundwork for the future. And people will say I'm wrong, but I'm sorry. I think so much of the newfound push for religious freedom has all been couched in laying groundwork for us to have something to fall back on once gay marriage became the law of the land, which it now has. And now everyone's crying religious freedom as far as striving to ensure that religious institutions are not forced to marry people or whatever else.
Now, I think there is a little bit of that sort of fatigue or exhaustion expressed by people that were sort of fighting this fight back with the Prop 8 stuff. I mean, the church made a big push on that.
That's an understatement. And
a lot of people were sort of, kind of caught up in it and said, well, you know, I believe in the church. I believe that this is true. Like, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And got caught up in this thing and sort of distanced themselves from friends and even family members and all these things based on the premise that this was what they were supposed to be doing. And then to have the church sort of soften its stance, so far. Well, I mean, it was the wars and battles thing. Like, they won the battle, lost the war. And there were people though that sort of expected to go down with the ship is more, you know, sort of what they were looking for. And they didn't get that because the church did thankfully pull back on the being as vocal on some of that. And now as this stuff is going down, I know especially there's a lot of members of the church that are just like, yeah, I support gay marriage. I'm there. I'm for it. Elder, who was it? Elder Christofferson?
Yeah.
Or Anderson? Christofferson, a couple of months ago, made that comment where he said that you know, if you supported gay marriage on social media, you would not face disciplinary action. Like, the members were free to sort of support as they would choose. But I know there's a lot of people that just feel sort of betrayed a little bit by the church's stance on some of this.
What do you mean by you think like people feel betrayed by the church, or what do you mean?
Yeah. Well, I think I mean this is what I'm saying is they were expecting the church to to continue to fight this fight. In fact, they didn't sort of surprise them. Well, now with this Supreme Court ruling, the church is in this. They released their statement and said, they said we. Help me remember this, Jeff.
Which statement? The one in the immediate wake or the one they want to have read from the pulpit?
The one in the immediate wake was the one I was thinking.
It was basically the usual reaffirming, you know, we don't agree with this, but we...
Yeah, here's marriage between a man and a woman,
actually, I've got it up here. I can read it. It's one paragraph. I can read it if you want. The Church of the Church acknowledges that following today's ruling by the Supreme Court, same-sex marriages are now legal in the United States. The court's decision does not alter the Lord's doctrine that marriage is a union between a man and a woman ordained by God. While showing respect for those who think differently, the church will continue to teach and promote marriage between a man and a woman as a central part of our doctrine and practice. Yeah. That was the one that they released on Friday.
Well, so I'm talking about, I guess I'm jumping between two different topics. One is sort of the fatigue a lot of people feel with this. Second is here we are as a church now, where this is the sort of the law of the land, and
which we believe in.
Church have to find our place in it, right? We've got to find a way to still believe the way that marriage is between a man and a woman, and like still be supportive and recognize that this is reality and the law of the land. I mean, I don't know. I'm sort of lost. Not lost, but like it's not a cut and dry thing for me.
Well, I think we're still we're going to be figuring out how to work through it, so to speak. Whether that means whatever that means, you know, if it means the church is no longer allowed to perform civil ceremonies for refusing to marry gay people, you know, who knows? I do believe some of the language, even in the Supreme Court ruling, is clear that it talks about, and people can correct me if I'm wrong, but I've read a little bit about this, that it refers to the civil institutions of the government and doesn't even actually apply to religious institutions. But at the same time, when a religious institution has the authority to perform the civil ceremony in conjunction with the religious rite, that still the two kind of get conflated one way or another. And so I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know that I felt people that felt like they were betrayed, but maybe disappointed. And what I saw from many circles was frustration with those who are of the faith, but who are openly happy about the Supreme Court ruling.
Right.
I've seen a lot on social media about how errant these people are, how foolish they are, how they, you know, that God's standards will always be God's standards. And what I think is interesting is I think both can sort of exist. Like I will say right here that I believe personally and religiously that marriage is ordained of God and it is between a man and a woman, and that is what Heavenly Father has planned for us. But then if I separate that from the way I view simple legal rights for all Americans or whatever country you live in, then I can say, well, yeah, why should a gay person, even if I don't agree with the holiness or the, you know, the divine nature or lack thereof of that relationship, why should they be denied their happiness or their protection under the law, you know, as the 14th Amendment sort of dictated?
Yeah.
And I can put those two together. You know, I'm not sitting here saying that I have any issue with what the brethren have taught us about these things, and I think that is wrong. And there might be some in some circles that do believe that that is incorrect and myopic or whatever else. I don't think that at all. I believe very much in the family of proclamation to the world. But I recognize that the entire world isn't subject to our theocratic whims in the political sphere. You know, that they people have rights, even if we don't agree with them. And we just have, and we have to love people and figure out how it's going to be. I don't know what's going to happen, though. I really do wonder if the church will be stripped of its civil abilities at some point. I don't know. I've wondered about
well,
that.
The curious part about a lot of this is that, you know, the things that follow once you have the right to marry, you know, you obviously would have the right to adopt or to raise children. There's ensuing steps that we would all expect to be forthcoming, right? These things should be showing up soon. And
sorry to jump in on there. I know they give a lot of reasons, but can't we see that LDS Family Services stopped providing direct adoption services? And I know they say it's for a lot of reasons, but how can we not assume that part of this is to get ahead of the curve and not have happened to LDS Family Services what happened to Catholic Charities, for example?
Right.
You know, it's inevitable. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah, we don't know.
I'm just curious. As a religion, as a personal belief, I mean, what's the right reaction to this? Is it just because here's where I'm torn is, like you said, I mean, you have two completely separate beliefs that both sort of work for you, and they do for me as well, where we can be supportive. I am excited. Let me tell you, I'm excited that this happened, mainly because I think for the church, we need to get past the idea, which has persisted, that gays are somehow, like a gay and a lesbian community is somehow less than we are as Christians or as Mormons. I feel like that sort of permeated a lot of sentiment or a lot of thinking, and I think that this does a lot to just say no, that like we're done with that.
Well, and that's a good point. I think it's because of the language we use. You know, we talk about those things being an abomination before the Lord, but I do believe that people have then sort of related that to the individuals, like that the individuals are abominations before the Lord, as opposed to, you know, homosexual acts.
It's not a love the sinner, hate the sin sort of thing. These are our brothers and sisters,
yeah,
and deserve, you know, a shot at happiness, right? A shot at living a life that they choose.
So then, how do we reconcile that? And they choose that right. How do we reconcile that then with what we do believe in as Latter-day Saints, as far as God's divine plan for us? Which, even though it is all about loving people and being inclusive, is not, as far as I can tell, there's not like a role for like gay couples in the eternity or anything that I'm aware of that I've seen. I don't want to sound harsh, but how do we reconcile all of that then?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have no idea how that works religiously.
Yeah,
right. I'm looking at this, well, so like I was saying, the piece that I was excited about was that this happened, and sort of we as a nation have to remove some of these things from our vocabulary, right? And I'm glad that this is happening for that. The struggle I think that exists is continuing to be supportive and loving while still maintaining a religious view that is in direct conflict to how they're living, which I guess as I'm saying this, I realize that there are people that live together out of wedlock that is in direct opposition to how we believe, and we don't have a problem sort of loving them or letting them come to our church services or, you know, living, having a, them be neighbors to us as families or in meeting houses or whatever. And so like knowing that we've done fine there, like let's get to that same point with the gay and homosexual community. And I think this is a step in that direction. But man,
it's still,
I don't know. It's muddy.
It's still tough. It's still tough.
It's muddy because we've never, I don't know. I can tell you're having
a hard time with this, kind of trying to find the right.
Which makes for terrible radio, I'm sure. but like
you tune in here to hear
idea, like
guys
as I'm talking going, through this, the idea that like we could be fine with our friends that you know just sleep with each other, no marriage, no anything like that. They're just having sex. Like we don't stress about that. You know, and we're not so concerned with that. Like I'm excited to get to that point with the gay community and the Mormons for it to be very similar to that.
Yeah.
While we still have a separate belief and we believe a different thing, but we can, like, it doesn't offend us so much that they are living differently than we would choose. Well,
I'm with you on that. And I think it will be. I mean, look at the progress they made in the Utah legislature this year. You know, that was a big olive branch to the gay community and trying to kind of find a happy medium and sort of mend some fences. And now I reflect on Prop 8. You know, as a Californian, I was greatly affected by it, and I wasn't super comfy with it. I mean, I think my own personal beliefs on it were like, and even more so on Prop 22 a few years prior, I think my own personal beliefs were sort of in line with that. Like, yeah, let's protect marriage. But as far as the church's involvement with it, made me deeply uncomfortable. That was very hard for me. And I saw sort of what it really brewed up in our people. And I think many, perhaps in some ways, it was prepping us to maybe learn lessons. I don't think it was all for naught necessarily. But I imagine the Lord had to teach us a few things, right? You know, maybe let us get up so we could be brought down, so we could have a learning experience and go through what we're going through now. I'm not sure. I would love to go back, though, and think about pre-Prop 8, pre-Defense of Marriage Act, all that stuff. And, like, how strong were those feelings? I mean, it's hard to know because social media wasn't a thing back then. But how strong were these voices to be against gay marriage? We know what public opinion was. But you know what I mean? I see somewhat like people who are so very, very, very angered by what happened on Friday at the Supreme Court. And I can't help but wonder how much of that was already there and how much of that, at least within Mormonism, has been the result of the call to rise to action with initiatives like Prop 8. Because before that, I didn't really care that much. It's not something I thought about very often. But then Prop 8 comes around and all of a sudden it's the all-encompassing subject of church. You know?
I think it's a former generation's upbringing, too, that we're battling. Right? I mean,
yeah,
that's...
Of course.
It wasn't part of even everyday conversation until maybe 15 years ago, 20 years ago. But, yeah, man. The other thing that I think we're seeing is a lot of reaction. Well, and this is especially on social media, but there's a lot of reaction of like, all right, well, this is there, so that means the whole world's going to hell.
It's over.
Right? I mean, that's a lot of the sentiment of just like, great, well, Supreme Court did this. Apparently, the Constitution doesn't mean anything. Apparently, you know, they won't stop in giving away or in like protecting anything. There's no moral law anymore that has a reason to exist, you know, stuff like that. There's a lot of that sort of rhetoric, especially from the far right, which a lot of Mormons identify with. And
of course, sure, yeah, and that's fine. I mean, I worry so much about this, but still growing into an issue that divides us as saints, and that's something that concerns me a lot because it's been one thing when I feel like there's the body of saints and you might look at things that are on the fringes or this or that, and we can stand united against them or for them, whatever it might be. But now we're seeing an issue where large chunks of active Latter-day Saints are thrilled with the Supreme Court's ruling, and large chunks are very, very disappointed. And I worry so much about this becoming a major wedge and causing a schism in our faith community, like we haven't seen, I don't know if ever, but for a very long time. I mean, because, you know, back to the same thing. I mean, when the priesthood was given to all men, that wasn't just like happy, happy, joy, joy. There were many people who struggled with it a lot. I know that's a different issue.
It wasn't happy, happy, joy, joy.
No. And I know it's a different issue. It's not perfectly analogous to what we're talking about here.
No, but it was. I mean, people left the church with the feeling that the fact they'd given this thing away meant that the church was no longer true. And we see, I mean, there are quotes going back. You and I were talking about this briefly, about like prophets warning against interracial marriage.
Sure.
Which then, as you know, and mainly the main piece of that, which was taught to us while I was at BYU, Hawaii, was that the cultural differences were going to be a major hindrance to the success of an intercultural
marriage. They can be. I once dated like an Eastern European girl, and even that was enough of a cultural difference where it was like weird to try to have a relationship.
Well, sure, that absolutely exists. But what I'm saying is that they came out and counseled against it, and then even more so. I mean, at some point back in the history, it was forbidden. It was one of those things they said, this is not doctrine in the church. Don't do this. But then it goes away. And as these things sort of evolve, I think part of it is waiting for society to evolve to a point where the church can follow along. I don't know. I'm sort of projecting maybe what I would like for it to be, but like as this stuff moves in and out, there has to be a sense of flexibility or openness to members of the church, to revelation, to sort of how this stuff will fit together. And I'm anxious to see where the church lands on this in 5 years.
Yeah,
what we're talking about.
And I hope, I mean, what I really hope and pray for is that it will not become a situation where true religious freedom like this is attacked in some sense, you know, whatever that might be. The church is not able to function as the positive institution that it is and is stripped of some kind of, you know, whatever.
Well, I found the line in the brief that Supreme Court read. There is finally, the First Amendment ensures that religions, those who adhere to religious doctrines and others, have protection as they seek to teach the principles that are so fulfilling and so net or in so central to their lives and faiths. That was one of the caveats they had in there, sort of the expectation to continue to exist where they weren't in agreement, and there was no sense that they were going to force religions to be in agreement. But no one can say what this turns into, you know, in 10 years, right?
Yeah, I mean, right. We don't know. It's not a mess. In some way, I breathe a sigh of relief that, like, hey, maybe this, all the fighting stuff we can get behind us, and then just figure out how, as Latter-day Saints, we press forward with our faith and with what we believe in without, I just feel like so much of our resources and stuff has gone to fighting against the legalization of this.
Right. Well, it's, I mean, surprise, surprise, the world didn't end. Right, like this isn't the end.
Yeah,
as we know it now. Greece did stop. stock market closed down, bank shut down. Maybe indicative of the end of times over there is the whole European Union collapses in a mess. That might be a
for
thing.
Some people. The collapse of the European Union would be a sign of divine intervention. So it really depends on your point of view. Yeah, that's the key thing. I really don't think that the legalization of same-sex marriage will have much effect on our day-to-day lives. I really don't. There will be little things here and there, sure, that will be different. But
you see all these little factions of peoples across this, particularly the southern U.S. They're saying no, we're not gonna listen.
Oh no, it's interesting. And what's interesting is the church. They issued a letter to be read from the pulpit this Sunday, maybe next Sunday, and they actually make a point about that. And they say, "quote We affirm that those who avail themselves of laws or court rulings authorizing same-sex marriage should not be treated disrespectfully. So they affirm that, but at the same time, you know, they don't want people to avail themselves of anything. I think we frown upon that. We believe we have to follow the law of the land. But likewise, in this same letter, they restate the point that Mormon leaders are not to perform civil ceremonies for gay couples. They won't. And church facilities are not to be used for same-sex celebrations, whatever they might be. So we're still sort of drawing that line in the sand of like, that's great they did this, but we're not just like opening up the floodgates and just doing whatever. Like, we're still sticking by what we do.
What's odd about that, going back to our previous example, they will perform marriages in the chapel for, you know, people that are not living the commandments, right?
So, that's like, interesting. Yeah, it's a good point.
So like, if my buddy and his girlfriend are sleeping together and decide they want to get married, they are welcome to use the cultural hall. They are welcome to have the bishop come and marry them. All that is something that is at their disposal, but is not at the disposal of our gay brothers and sisters. I would expect that this will. I mean, I don't know. It's a big long
letter.
That's
where
I
see there could be some friction at some point. Yeah. I mean, I can't predict it. But
well, and we have to expect that this will continue to evolve, continue to change. And I would hope that it evolves to a point where, you know, we sort of approach it like we said earlier, approach it similar to how we would have, you know, people not living the commandments as we see them, living contrary to our beliefs, but they are a man and a woman. Let us treat a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, much in the same way, and just support, love, embrace them, but teach a doctrine that is.
I guess the interesting thing here is we worry so much about what the state does, but since when have we, as Latter-day Saints, or really any people, since when do we put our faith in the state to be the one that is ensuring that those are, the people are brought up with good values and this and that? I mean, maybe it happened years ago. There's stuff to be thought about, you know, as far as curricula at school and what have you. It's an issue.
Jeff, if I didn't have the state, I would never have eaten public school breakfast ever. And that saved
me
for a number of
years. It's just very interesting because I don't look to society or the laws of the United States to inform how I want to raise my children in righteousness. I mean, that's why I lean on the gospel. That's why I lean on my wife and the good and the values that we have and the things that we try to cultivate at home.
Look at you with that dad mode already.
Yeah, sure.
But either way, a
ruling on same-sex marriage for how I look towards my family and the way to serve effectively in the church and all these things, you know, that doesn't affect it as much. Like, it's not the government's job to ensure that my kids have a good life or whatever else. You know, it's my job as a parent to do that. That's where it falls on me, to create that environment. I know there will be external influencers that might be different, and that will have to be something to be dealt with. But
there's lots to think about, and here's my commitment to you, our listeners. If you are thinking through this stuff and you put out a thoughtful email to Jeff or I, contact at thisweekinmormons.com, I commit to give a thoughtful reply to each letter that comes in. I don't offer this often. Normally, it's a snarky, sarcastic reply while Jeff tries to apologize for my behaviors. I promise to give a thoughtful reply. We can have a dialogue about this and discuss. I'd be very open to it.
We'll have a chat.
In other news, there was some sort of a crazy melee gang fight sort of thing that happened outside an Oakland church Sunday as services were letting out. We are unsure if this was over a
parking space
room being scheduled that was not. I think it was actually the choir director was trying to get his.
My understanding
in there,
is it was,
but the previous director wouldn't get.
I thought it was about scheduling for Pioneer Day festivities, and
that is probably
like,
what it is.
No, I have the gym. He says no.
One man began hitting another man with a hammer or a crowbar, and that led to shots being fired.
And Jello was
so
everywhere.
that's a thing. So if you go to church in Oakland, be careful. Okay. That's all we're saying.
Be careful, folks.
Don't trust it.
Another quick one to mention here. So we can talk about this now. Kind of fun. Boncom, which does some work for the church in marketing and such. And then, you know, they've done a lot of campaigns like I'm a Mormon, this and that. So this is not officially from the church at this point. So bear that in mind. but they're sort of testing it out. It's a Twitter feed called Ask Mormons, ask_Mormons. And you wouldn't believe whom they approached. They approached little old me, and I got to talk to them.
Social media guru.
Yeah. And Jeff. So anyway, for the next couple of weeks, if you're interested, follow that Twitter.
Where'd they get that photo of you, by the way?
I sent them a couple of different headshots, and I said, choose whichever one you want. And I was kind of hoping they'd pick that one. And there I am, front and center on the page. Front and center, a picture of me standing there with a glittery paper crown on my head. I can't.
That's nice.
I'm amazed they went with it, given how church things often are. I hope that non-Mormons will follow this page and just be like, I don't know who the dude is there with the crown, but that's got to mean something, right?
It was just real
so
nice.
So this Twitter account exists, and in the future, if the church ever takes it on, it's sort of an Ask Me Anything kind of thing where people can come in and just ask questions about the church, about Mormons, whatever it might be, and there will be people on the other end to answer said questions. So I'm not the only one on it, but I encourage you to give that a follow. And
what questions will you be asked?
I don't think we've been asked any questions. Right now it's been kind of funny to watch what the other people using it. I'm not the only one. The other people will tweet. Because there's a fine line. You don't just want to like blast people with like, hey, Mormonism's great and you should all be Mormons, you know. I don't know. So there's a fine line. But I don't think I've seen any questions yet, actually. Not much.
If you could hope for a question, what would it be?
Why are you Mormon? There we go. Or do Mormons believe in polygamy? What if they said? I hear you guys pay tithing. Tithing is something I would love to be approached about because I think tithing is awesome. And
why were you against the Supreme Court ruling?
There's a fair one. Yeah. Why are Mormons against gay marriage? Right. So it's in its infancy. They were trying to keep it chill, but they said we can announce it and blast it out there. So folks, follow it. In general, it might be useful in the long run anyway. But follow it now because there I am. What a great celebrity moment for me. Add this to my resume. Oh, beta Twitter tester.
If I may, I personally still have not followed it yet.
You definitely
am abstaining. I don't want to support Jeff too early. I want to
wait. Hey, we've already gotten a little bit of the TWIM bump. People have started following our TWIM account, which I haven't even linked to in a tweet. They said we can. I just mentioned I'm a podcaster, but then they found us and they followed us.
Nice.
So that's the real reason to do these things, everybody, to puff up our own personal endeavor.
Jeff, you have the two next good ones, but one that we are excited about. We have guest bloggers now, and I'm very excited to welcome Lauren Jinkerson to the mix. She put together a wonderful list of 10 of the must reads. If you are into Mormonism, the only missing one is, as the comments have attested to, is The Rise of Modern Mormonism by David O. McKay. But everything else, we heartily approve.
Yeah, we're glad to have. We might have seen some other posts during the week about some changes in garments that it appears the church, when they did that survey about garments, they actually implemented some changes. So we had another one from Irene, who's another one of our new writers. So
I like it, man. We're getting some variety. Of opinion.
Yeah, so, you know, make sure to follow us on your, I would say Feedly, but that's gone. Well, no, people still use Feedly. I meant Google Reader. Can't use that anymore. But follow us on your things. Get that RSS feed and, you know, make use of it so you can get our stuff in your inbox or wherever else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to plug. Some other quick mentions, I guess, finishing up the show. So it appears the church has completed a translation of the Book of Mormon in Farsi, which I think is awesome. There's been sections of the book have been in existence for a very long time. Back in the early 80s or so, I even had a mission companion whose dad actually served his mission in Iran before the Shah fell. So, very interesting folks who do these sorts of things. But
I'm sorry, the Shah fell? Should I know what that
means?
Oh,
yeah. As a citizen of the world, you should know about the Shah falling.
I've never heard this.
Okay, term. What you do is you're going to Google it. I want you to look it up. And you'll find all sorts of things about the 1979 Iranian Revolution. Very important moment in world history. Because before that, the U.S. and Iran were allies, my friend. Allies. We were pals.
I see nothing of Shah fell Iran.
How are you spelling Shah?
S-H-A-H.
That's actually dead on. Dead on. Good for you.
Oh, there it is. The Iranian Revolution. In 78, I wasn't even alive.
So
then.
It doesn't matter. It's garbage.
All right.
And in other,
I'll circle back.
And in another quick little mention here. According to sources, the church has been undergoing exploratory visits, which is very interesting, to open up missionary work in two sub-Saharan African nations, Sao Tome and Principe, which is an island nation, and Senegal. So this has been passed on through reports from senior missionaries and mission presidents. And so there we go. I'm in Sao Tome and Principe. They speak Portuguese there. It's a bunch of islands off the coast. And it's part of the Angola-Luanda mission right now. So that should be an easy one. Senegal is a little bit more interesting to me because it's mostly a Muslim country. But apparently they're making some sort of headway on potentially being able to get into the country and do stuff. So cool news.
That's kind of awesome.
Cool news in the world of missionary work.
Yeah, it's really cool. Anyway, everybody, we seriously invite you to send us emails, particularly this week. We'd love to chat. Contact at thisweekinmormons.com or visit thisweekinmormons.com and leave a comment on this week's episode or any of our other articles. We'd love to hear from you, and we will do our best to say something funny.
We will respond. If you send us notes, we will respond. Absolutely. Likewise, if you've not followed us on Facebook, you should. Because that's one of the first places you're going to see stuff that's relevant to the TWIM community. Likewise, on Twitter and Google+, follow our Instagram page for amusing memes and things along those lines and what have you. And write us a review on iTunes, will you? That would be dynamite if you could do that. But we appreciate y'all taking the time to join us on our various outlets and taking the time to listen with us today.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Enjoy the lake and the pool, my friend. Have fun.
So it shall be. I will. Jeff, you good luck on having a baby this week.
Thank you. I don't know. This week. I might be back next week. I have no idea. I have no
don't
idea.
Don't fail this week, Jeff. Have a baby.
This is going to shock you, but I can't control it.
Sing soothing tones. Bounce on a trampoline. All right.
I will be a soothsayer. I'll see you All then. Right, dude. See you later, man. Thanks for listening to TWIM, folks. We hope you have a great week. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. What about love? Don't you want someone to care about you?